Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lean Keys Real Talk. I'm the captain now. It's Lean Keys Real Talk. I'm not sure what episode it is, but that's virtually irrelevant and digitally irrelevant and physically irrelevant. So we won't even talk about that. But besides the number, it's UFC 260 pre-show. So, you know, we always get to it on our Wednesday nights. You know, 3 days out from the fight card, it's still fight week, and it was UFC media day today, and I think there was a lot of good interviews that stemmed from media day today. There were some good points that were put out with that, but that's aside from the point. What's up, my brothers?
How's it going?
Yo, what up, man? Welcome back, Evan, after your week-long birthday celebration.
Thank you, thank you. Excited to be back. Excited to break it down with you guys. Can't wait to do it.
So
yeah, man, we got a lot to talk about tonight.
So it feels like we didn't do a show last week, but I'm not sure. I mean, I have that feeling inside that you haven't done a show in 2 weeks. Kind of feeling inside.
Really, Keith, so, man, you did a show last week.
Oh, man, maybe it just wasn't, maybe the show was a little forgettable. Was it a good show?
It was the Keys Vent Fest.
Oh, yeah, I actually did go off. You're right. I did go off. Yeah, I must have not had, oh, yeah, that was a memorable rant. I want to tell the people that it was forgettable, but it's kind of difficult because if you go back and listen to it, I feel like that was prime time entertainment right there. I had a bit to say for sure. If you haven't listened to it, you gotta do yourself a favor and go listen to it, because I had some good sound bites in there for sure. Quite 2, 3, 4 really good sound bites in there, and you did too. But yeah, we actually killed that one. I must really been with the new apartment I just got into, I feel like I've had so much going on. I'm trying to buy so many things, and I'm doing so much now. I feel like I'm getting bad memory loss, bro. We had a great show, and I didn't even remember it.
That's all right, man. We'll make sure this is a memorable one tonight.
And it ain't even that it wasn't a memorable one. It was, but, man, you know. Anyways, the UFC 260 is coming. We're going to get to that in the second half of the show. But the first half of the show, we got a handful of topics. I mean, I can go off the top with them. First off, how you guys feel about – actually, Evan, you go ahead, because I think I snatched the mic from you. So you gotta get back, and we'll get to what we're going to get to.
Yeah,
what's
Evan,
the first topic you
want to
talk about?
All right. Well, we got a few. We got a, you know, a nice list of things to talk about. You know, we can just we can do it in order as the list states, and we'll start it with the news of Corey Sandhagen versus T.J. Dillashaw.
And
that's going to be a main event fight night. That's going
to
be a good one. That's going to be a good one. And then another bantamweight bout was Cody Garbrandt is going to return to fight Rob Font in another main event. For the bantamweight division, so that's very nice to see. You know, but to stick on that topic, what do you guys think of that fight, Corey Sandhagen getting a TJ fight? You know, are we going to see a better TJ? Are we going to see an improved TJ? Or is that, the ring rust theory everyone likes to point out, is that going to be too much for him? Or is Sandhagen just going to be too much for him? What do you guys think?
Lee, you go first. You got this.
Cool. Because both of these guys are, like, two of my favorite fighters. I think we see the same TJ, man. I think TJ, I think he comes back with the same skills, same speed, same striking. I think ring rust might be a thing of the past, fellas, because everybody that we see get in there after long breaks, they actually don't look half bad. Except Connor. But Connor takes, like, exorbitant amounts of time off between fights. But I like Sanhagen in this fight because I've been driving his bandwagon probably for like 2 years. Autumn, a big fan of TJ. I'm going to go back to my mantra, man. I like new blood. I like to see guys fight their way up, you know, go through the ranks, you know, do what they're supposed to do to get title shots. And I think Corey Sanhagen has done that. But I still think TJ is going to look good. I think Sanhagen better be in there working on his defense because TJ do have fast hands, do have a little bit of power also. We'll see. I think he's going to look good in his return. I think his opponent is going to make him be good in his return.
Yeah. So my thing is with that is, I don't have my laptop in front of me to look at the striking stats and the overall tail of the tape. But for this one, I think it's to me more about each fighter, and I feel like TJ is going to be. It's like the part of me that's mad at the fact that he, you know, took EPO and came in and fought guys with an advantage. The part of me that's mad at him for that wants to say, like the more emotional side wants to say he's going to come in and not look good because he's not going to look the same off the, I feel like the more objective side says, no, Dillashaw is a great fighter even before that. And I knew that. So we all knew that. So I think he's going to look really good. I think he's going to have really good performance. And, I don't know if we would even give an official prediction at the time. We can always get the prediction when it comes. But I do think TJ is going to look good, though. I think it'll be a good fight overall. And I don't think either guy is going to be too dominant, you know, at least not now. At least a month or so out from – month and a half out from the fight, I don't think either guy's going to look too dominant, but, you know, for the point of the question, I do think TJ coming back, you know, I don't think he would come back at least right away off being eligible to come back. I don't think he would be basically fighting right away like he is if, you know, he didn't feel like he was going to come back and win. That's what I'll say for right now. I don't think TJ, you know, he's not the kind of guy who's going to come back and then, you know, not be in full form. That's what I think.
All right. You know, obviously, I agree for both points. I think TJ is going to come back looking great, healthy. You know, the body taking time off, letting that body, you know, just rehydrate and all that stuff. Personally, I'm a Corey Sanhagen bias. I think he's going to win. That's a good one to talk about. Real quick, before we continue on with the bantamweight division, we just want to point out to the fans that this weekend's co-main event was supposed to be Volkanovski versus Ortega for the featherweight title, and it was came out, I'm not sure how long ago, I think it was like yesterday or 2 days ago, that Volkanovski tested positive for COVID, so he will not be on that card. That fight is sadly bumped, so we're all very sad about that because Volkanovski was going to smack Ortega, but we don't have to get into all that. We just want to wish, you know, speedy recovery for Volkanovski. Can't wait to see him back. And, just want to let you guys know that one. Let's keep it going. And we're going to keep it going with the Rob Font versus Cody Garbrandt fight. Gentlemen, please tell me your thoughts.
Go ahead, Keys.
No, you got it, bro. You got it. You go first.
All right.
You got to talk about your boy, Cody.
I like that Cody's fighting back at 135. I think going down to 125 was, I think that was like a pipe dream. He was looking to get a quick title shot, but I think 135 is his natural division, if not 145 also. But, Cody looked good in his last fight, against Sun Sal. I'm not looking at it, but I think his last fight was against Sun Sal when he had the highlight reel knockout. But Sun Sal is was opponent made for him because of Sun Sal was kind of slow. He doesn't have like the fastest hands. So, but in that fight, I noticed that Cody was still getting caught by Sun Sal's right hand. He was still getting caught by the right hook. And if he gets caught with a right hook by Rob Font, he's going to sleep. So he still has holes in his game as far as his defense. But I do like this fight for both guys. I think if Font wins, it definitely put him maybe one or two fights away from possibly fighting for the belt. And if Cody wins, it keeps him right where he at, where he's maybe one fight away from fighting for the belt. But I do like this fight, and I like that both guys accepted this fight as they both are in the top 10. So I like this fight a lot.
So my thing is with this one, right? My thing is this. So from what I remember, I only watched about one time the Sun Sal and Garbrandt. You know, I think we all love 2016 Garbrandt. You know, that was one of the first fights I saw from him. You know, his build-up to his fight with Cruz was really like, that was one of the first cards that got me back into the UFC, like really made me like, okay, like I'm watching next weekend's card too. Like that was one of the cards because it was actually, you know, point of emphasis, UFC 200 that really got me back in, tuned in to UFC. But then that one, I think, was UFC 207, Cruz and Garbrandt. And I think we all loved that 2016 Garbrandt performance. I'd love to see him in full form like that. I hope he comes like that. I mean, when I watched his fight with Sun Sal, what I saw was that, you know, he was still making a lot of the same technical mistakes with his striking. I didn't feel like he was dominant in the fight. I do think he was down on the scorecards. And really, the only reason that he's in the win column again is because he basically had a Hail Mary knockout that I don't even think he knew he was going to get. You know, I don't think he knew that that was going to land like that. You know, I think he just threw, you know, everything he had, knowing that he was about to lose a decision, which I think he was. And he threw a Hail Mary, you know, right hook from hell. And it just happened to you know, put a Sun Sal out. He put him away. But I think he kind of got lucky with that. You know, I really don't think technically he looked good to me. I don't think he looked good in the fight. But I do hope he comes in full form versus Rob Font because, you know, this is Rob Font's from my neck of the woods. You know, he's from around the way. And, you know, Cody is going to have to – I hope he comes correct because he has to come correct versus Rob Font or he's going to lose badly. So, you know, that's another guy you're fighting who, if you're going to make boxing mistakes, you know, that's a bad matchup for you. You know, if you're having issues with your boxing – Rob Font's a bad matchup for you. So, you know, if Cody's going to come, you know, the way he's looked in his last five fights and he's not, and you know, he's not coming with, you know, significant striking improvements, you know, he's probably in for a tough night versus Rob Font. But I think it's a great fight either way. Great fight for both guys.
Number three versus number four.
It's the way the ranking should work.
Yep.
But, yeah, no, we all like that fight. That's a great fight. I can't wait for the month of May. There's just so much going on in the month of May. But we're going to continue on. We are sticking to the list. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Evan, go ahead. You give your thoughts on the fight. Then you roll to the next subject.
All right.
Even though you're the host, you know, you do your thing, too.
No, appreciate it. I love the fight. I think this is a great opportunity for Rob Font to, you know, change the, you know, shock the world in a sense. But I feel like that whole saying of shocking the world is just kind of been overdone. But not a lot of people know the name Rob Font. You know, enough people know Cody Garbrandt, former champion. He had the feud with TJ Dillashaw. I remember at one point when he won the belt, the UFC was going to prop him up to be like the next Conor McGregor. Like they were going to build him so high, and sadly he did not fulfill his end of the bargain. But you know, he's returned. He looked great in his, you know, he looked safe in his return fight against Rafael dos Anjos. he caught the buzzer beater knockout. You know, it was a great knockout, but then immediately he says the dumb stuff. He starts calling for a championship fight. Just shut up. So I'm glad that he's being – and then he tried to get a fight with the 35-pound champion, and then instead he wasn't getting that, so then he tried to go down a different smaller weight class to get a title shot because he just doesn't want to fight and he wants to be that guy. So glad he's getting Rob Font. I'm rooting for Rob Font in this one. I want to see new blood. I'm tired of seeing the same old names in certain divisions. And with that being said, it is a great segue for our next topic. Speaking of new blood, we are going to talk about the recently announced Michael Chandler will take on Charles Oliveira, or Charles Oliveira will take on Michael Chandler for the vacant lightweight championship due to Khabib's retirement finally being acknowledged. Gentlemen, your thoughts.
All right, I'll go first. I like that the UFC was very decisive in who they was putting in there to fight for the belt. I like the fact that they just put the two guys in there that they felt was deserving. I know a lot of people were talking about Poirier. Some Conor fans was out there. But it's like what Key said. Why would you put two guys in there coming off losses, really? But we've been talking about this for a while. Most of these guys are 1-1 in their last two fights. So I'm not mad that they put Oliveira in there, although I feel that he has crumbled when he's fought the top guys. You go and look at his record. Tony Ferguson is probably one of the, and in recent years, one of the big names that he's actually beaten. But the thing is, Oliveira has fought all the top guys too. I like this fight. I want to roll with Oliveira so bad, but man, if I had to pick the fight today, I would probably go with Chandler because of his striking and his wrestling. But once again, I would stress to everybody that's listening, Chandler is a thinker after the first round. If he don't get you out of there in the first round, go watch his previous fights. He starts to think in the octagon instead of fighting. And if it goes to the fourth and fifth rounds, I like the chance of Oliveira to actually win the fight. But I love that the UFC was so decisive in their matchmaking for who's going to fight for the belt. And I'm glad that the division is back on track. So now we can start getting these fights rolling in this division.
So my thing is with that is that, you know, first of all, I'm happy because we were all, I'm pretty sure, you know, probably a year to a year and a half ago at this point, we were all talking about Oliveira on our show and saying how come Oliveira can't get a fight with any of these top five guys. And I'm like 90%. Sure that we all said that. Why can't any of these guys fight Oliveira? They're scared to fight Oliveira. So finally, he gets a shot with, you know, he gets the Kevin Lee fight. He won Kevin Lee fight, then he gets Ferguson. He looked good versus, really good versus Ferguson. But my thing is this, is I've been irritated with him. You know, I feel like he's just sounded really entitled not taking fights. I'm glad that his act of entitlement did get him to the title fight, because he did hold out and he did turn down, like, I think two or three fights to then finally get offered the title fight. But honestly, at the same time, I think it's the reason why he got offered the title fight and the reason why his holding out and turning down fights actually worked out for him is – much, much, much less about the fact that he was turning down fights and he was using that strategy, and much, much, much more about the fact that Khabib decided to, you know, officially say, I'm done, and more or less relinquish the belt, which I really didn't think was going to happen until later in the year, you know. I thought Khabib wasn't going to say anything, you know, most of the year, and then probably in top of 2022, he was going to, you know, relinquish the belt, or they were going to strip him. But like I said, I think Oliveira, the only reason that his holding out really worked out for him, I think it's more so Khabib's doing and less so his own doing, honestly, as far as his business. But do I think that all these people on Twitter talking about, oh, this guy, you know, Gaethje should have been in the fight. I think it's the perfect two guys, honestly. Even though I haven't liked Oliveira holding out and not taking fights, because I never really liked that kind of behavior, but I do think it's the best two guys you could have put there. I think these are two guys on win streaks. Oliveira's on, like, I think, 7 or 8 fight win streak, maybe even more. Chandler's actually on a 3-fight win streak, if you know the facts. You know, some guys are out there saying he's on a 1-fight win streak. If you look at that, I mean, he's fought once in the UFC, but overall, he won his last. He was on a 2-fight win streak before he signed with the UFC. So overall, in MMA, he's on a 3-fight win streak right now. And two of the three of those are KOs. So, and I think they're both first-round KOs, too. So I think we need to have it right. I think we need to have it right and look at the facts. You know, a lot of people are just debating with their emotions, which is what mostly people do. They debate with their emotions and not the facts. If you look at Chandler overall, he's very, very, very qualified to be in this title fight. And if you look back at the facts, I want to tell you one more thing I think a lot of people don't realize. How many fights did Anderson Silva fight before he fought for the title of the UFC? Does anybody know the answer to that?
It was 0.
I believe it was 1. Anderson Silva came into the UFC, fought 1 fight. He won 1 fight and then immediately fought for the title.
He ain't lying.
What did we
get? Literally...
What did you say?
No, I'm saying you weren't lying. He literally debuted against Chris Leben and then was given a title shot and knocked out Rich Franklin.
Okay,
against
so,
Chris Leben.
Okay, so this is right. So that's a whole nother conversation, right? Is that who they had him fight, and then he fought that guy and then fought for the title. But the point that when I found that out earlier today, and the point that I'm trying to get across is that the propaganda got to stop. It got to stop because Gaethje lost, he fought for the title. Poirier lost, he fought for the title. Conor fought and lost, you know, when he fought for the title. So I don't really see how you could sit there and be mad that none of those guys are in the title fight. They all had their chance and they all lost. So I don't understand where this logic is coming from that they got, people are saying they got slighted. How did Poirier get slighted? And secondly, he's going to make probably more than quadruple the money that, you know, either Chandler or Oliveira is going to make fighting McGregor. So, you know, the guy's happy. So I don't even understand. Plus, if Poirier wins that, he's probably still right there for the title anyway. So he could very well fight the winner of that fight. So, that's bogus. Silva came in, did the same thing, but people just want to hate on Chandler. So it is what it is. I love the fight, though.
Yes. No. 100% agreement. I actually, that's honestly a huge fact that I had no idea about, that Silva came in off 1 win, got 1 win, and then was given a title shot. And then at some point in people's, you know, lifetime, they thought Anderson was the GOAT. You know, they loved him until he popped for steroids. Like, when that happened, everything changed. But before that, the guy who got a title shot off 1 win was their GOAT for a great amount of time. So I don't want to hear it. I'm so sick of the trash on Chandler. The guy literally did nothing wrong besides sign with the UFC, become the stand-in for the title fight, kind of get dragged around with the Tony fight. Didn't happen. They tried to book him against Islam, but now we all know Islam needs to shut his mouth. And when he finally does get a fight, he knocks out Dan Hooker in the first round. Dan Hooker, it took 5 rounds for Dustin Poirier to not even finish Dan Hooker, and then Hooker gets smacked by Chandler, and now guess what? He's getting a title shot, and guess what? He's winning. Michael Chandler is going to knock out Charles Oliveira. Don't know what round, but it's going to happen, and I can't wait. Carrying on, we now are going to talk about we got choices here. We could either, it's up to you guys. We could either talk about 170. Gilbert Burns?
Skip Burns. Yeah, Skip Burns. Me and Keys hammered on 170 last week. So just Skip Burns and let's go to the next one. That's okay with you, Keys?
Yeah, that's cool with me. You know, I already went off on 170 last week, so, you know, we can get a part two, but we don't need to do it this time.
Yeah, so we can skip the Burns talk, the 170 talk. We got is, you know, we have Hamzat Chimaev's rumor return. It was said that he was going to be done, but now he's coming out and saying that he's coming back. It's looking like he wants to come back in June, July against Neil Magny. I don't know how I feel about it. I kind of really don't care until, like, you know, even it doesn't matter to me if contracts are signed and posters are made, because they made three posters for Hamzat and Leon Edwards, and I can't, you know, I couldn't get excited about it because what happened. So, yeah, you guys tell me what you think about Hamzat's return.
I mean, Evan, I know exactly what you're trying to say with that. You know, I'm on the same boat as you with, you know, they told us that Hamzat was fighting, you know, a handful of times here. And I know that there was circumstances, but I'm not saying it's not valid. I'm just pointing out that I'm not going to get it, you know, I'm not even going to, like, get excited until the fight, like, until he's making the walk to the cage. Like, I don't even really have much interest in talking about that. So once they actually get the fight and we see them making the walk, you know, him and Neil Magny, they make the walk, then we'll, you know, I'll be more interested in that fight. But until then, I don't have much to say on it.
I totally agree. I think he's one of them guys where he's all of a sudden he's a Twitter guy. He likes to tweet stuff, put stuff on social media to keep himself relevant. But I'm going to talk about the second part of the topic. I'm glad Miesha Tate back. I hope that when Miesha Tate weighs in, Keys, and our female fan base out there, please don't take this the wrong way. I hope when Miesha Tate weighs in, she goes back to the sexy weigh-in with the bikini top, bikini bottom. Oh, my God, I'm so happy that Miesha back. And she's actually coming back to a tough fight against Marion Renau. So this should be a good fight because I think Renau has said this will be her last fight. And Misha's coming back. So, hey, I like this fight. Welcome back, Miesha. Former champion. Man, this fight should be good, especially if it goes to the ground, because both these women can handle their business on the ground. So whoever can impose their will on the feet probably is going to have the best chance of winning this fight. So, but welcome back, Miesha Tate. And back to you, Keys.
So one thing that I didn't know about this fight, someone said it earlier, and I just fact-checked it just to make sure before I said it on our show, because we like to have things legit, you know what I mean? So the first half of it is I'm extremely excited that Miesha Tate was back. I mean, y'all saw me. I live tweeted from our account. By the way, our account at LKE Real Talk. Everybody listening, y'all got to follow us at LKE Real Talk. You'll regret it when, you know, there's a couple thousand more followers in a year, and they're going to regret not jumping on the bandwagon then. So might as well follow us now. But back to that. So y'all saw me live tweeting it, and I blew up. I blew up when I saw Miesha Tate come back, because this is really, like, this is the only female that I was able to, like, get excited and, like, watch her fight. Like, this is the only one, because even when she had the first couple of times that I saw, when I was getting back into UFC, I was watching all the fights back on YouTube. I watched her couple of fights with Ronda Rousey, and they had all that, like, they were basically jiu-jitsu contests. Like, they were pretty much, like, did a lot of rolling. You know, they call it rolling. They did a lot of rolling in those couple of fights, but they were good. They were really good fights, and Miesha Tate was one, too, that got me back into the sport. Ironically, the event that I said that when I got back into it was at UFC 200, it was ironically the same event that Miesha Tate lost the belt to Amanda Nunes, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it was that same card that Miesha Tate. That was, I think, her one of her last fights, ironically. But I know, very excited. You know, she's pretty much the only female fighter that I feel like I'm legitimately a fan of, who, like, I'm going to be, like, really checking for her fight when she's on the card. Everybody else is kind of just, like, okay, cool, like I want to see it, but I'm not necessarily excited. I'm definitely wicked excited. And I think the opponent, I feel like they kind of set her up with this opponent. I feel like that they're kind of setting her up to win, honestly, if you ask me. When I said I had to fact check it, somebody said earlier that, oh, they're giving her Marion Reynaud, who is a good fighter, but they said she's on a 4-fight losing streak. And I had to fact check it, and she is on a 4-fight losing streak. She's lost her last 4 fights dating back to 2018. So, and don't get me wrong, she's fought.
Look at the 4 people she lost to, though.
No, yes, that was what I was just getting to. I said, don't get me wrong, she's fought top level. You know, Captain Garner was a title contender. Pennington, title contender. Kuniskaya was a title contender. All these girls have fought for a belt in the UFC. You know, Maisie Chiasson, I think, could very well be a champion. I think she's very good. You know, it's definitely a prospect. Speaking of which, she's another one, Lee, that I wrote an article about. Maisie Chiasson's another one I wrote an article about, just to throw that out there. And, so it's not that she hasn't fought the really tough competition, you know what I mean? But I do think that this is a fight that Tate should win, though. I think she should win. And I think Marion Reynaud said this is her retirement fight, too. I mean, she is 43, so I feel like, you know, if you feel like you should retire at 43 from the cage, you're probably, you know, that's probably not a bad idea, you know, when you get to that point. But, I'm really, really happy for the fight, really happy.
Yes, my thoughts when that came out. I was not, like, shocked, but I kind of expected it because, like, some of the people that I do follow on social media, I've always noticed her in pictures, always training. And, you know, her retirement, you know, does come – I think she retired at UFC 205 against Raquel Pennington. I think she got her nose broken early in the fight, and that is when she called it there. So that was back 2016. That was the Connor Eddie card. But, sometimes when people retire, it's a lot of emotion going in. You know, I understand her thought process. You know, you were just a champion, and then your first title defense doesn't go your way, and then your return fight doesn't go your way. The mindset's just not there to keep going. So taking this time off, I think she had a kid. It can do wonders. So I'm excited for it. I'm glad she's still in the UFC because I know she has ties with ONE Championship. So I'm glad she's coming back to the UFC. And it should be – I hope she, you know, she shines bright. But if you guys would like to, we can start breaking down the this weekend's main card.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's jump into the card. Let's jump into the main card. I'm good.
All right, so not going to lie to you guys yet. Not going to lie to you guys. The prelims, and you guys know I'm a prelim guy. There's really not much prelims on this card. Like, I'm going to watch them because that's what I do. But, there's just not much for me. But let's move on. So main card, UFC 260, Stipe versus Francis, the rematch. We're gonna go bottom to top like we normally do. So we got Jamie Mullarkey taking on Kama Worthy. If you guys remember, Jamie Mullarkey actually fought Brad Riddell back, I think, on the UFC 243 card, which was the Whitaker Adesanya card, if I'm correct. I don't remember seeing him after that. He fought Brad Riddell, but I'm not sure. He'll be taking on Kama Worthy. Everyone remembers Kama Worthy. He came into the UFC as like a plus 1,000 dog, was able to get a knockout win, and then was able to upset Luis Pena in a recent fight, but then was knocked out against Admin Azitar. Butchered the last name, my apologies. But what do you guys think about this fight, and who do you got?
Well, you want me to go, or you want to go first?
You can go ahead.
All right. So, I mean, my thing is with this fight, I got to look this up really quick because I really don't know Jamie Mullarkey. So I need to look him up to at least have the least bit of knowledge. Definitely familiar with Kama Worthy. I actually I made a mistake with the two of them earlier on our Twitter, and I thought that one was the other, but I knew he looked familiar. So, yeah, I got that mixed up, but we got it back. I got to look at the tail of the tape for this fight so I can have an idea, because otherwise I'll just go with my boy Kama Worthy because just off of the relativity. But let me look at this.
All right, while Key's looking it up, I'll make this short and sweet. I think on the UFC, they definitely think that Kama Worthy can be a star. And based on his performance against Alzatar, I want to say, he looked bad in that fight. Alzatar definitely outclassed him. He took him down a lot, mixed in good striking. So Kama Worthy does have a hole in his game, and that's his takedown defense. So if Malarkey can take him down, he has a chance. But Malarkey is coming off of two losses, both by unanimous decision. So I'm gonna go with Kama Worthy to bounce back in this fight. I say second round TKO.
Yeah, I'm going to go a similar direction too, but actually I think, and this is something I never predict. I don't think I've ever even made a prediction like this. I think Kama Worthy is going to get him out of there in the first round by knockout. The first round, I think it's going to be probably like a flying knee or maybe a head kick, something of that nature. Kama Worthy is very explosive, and I think that's the way we'll see him in this fight to come back for a big turnaround win.
All right. I like both picks. For me, I'm undecided on this one. I would like to see both of them are coming off a loss. I think it means more. It means probably more to Kama Worthy. Not like it means more to him than it means to James, but in the sense of the UFC, they're going to want Kama to win, to win. So with that being said, I'm going to go with I'm presumably upset, and I'm going to pick Jamie Malarkey. I think we're seeing a nice fight of the night, honestly. You know, these guys can go. This is going to be a fun fight. I really hope it does, turn out to be a fun fight as it is on paper. I'm going to take Jamie Malarkey by decision. All right, moving on. We have a women's flyweight bout. We have Jillian Robertson taking on Miranda Maverick. Everyone remembers Jillian Robertson. She's fought, she's 25 years old. She's been in the UFC for a decent amount of time. She was actually on The Ultimate Fighter. She fought, I think she was on, I don't know if it was Justin Gaethje's team or whoever Justin was fighting. I forget what it was. But she's fought, top talent at 125. She fought Macy Barber. She fought, Poliana Votella, Talia Santos, Molly McKay. She's fought the names of 125. She's 9-5 coming off a loss to Talia Santos. She'll be taking on Miranda Maverick, 10-2. Maverick is 23 years old. She's coming off four wins in a row. Her most recent win was a TKO doctor stoppage, and I believe it was due to a cut on the forehead. So there is that. I'm not going to lie.
All four wins in the UFC?
Are her wins in the UFC? No, she... That her
no,
last
all,
fight
her,
was her debut.
Okay, yeah, see that okay. So that's we gotta have that be clear for the fans. We gotta have that be clear.
Yeah, my bad.
You say four or five? No, not even you. It's not even that. I'm just saying when you say, because we've been deceived many times by guys coming in on a 10 fight win streak and LFA, and then they come over to the UFC and they just get dog walked. You know what I mean? So we've seen that happen many times. So. We get deceived by the level of competition that they're fighting sometimes. So I think that's call me biased because I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Jillian Robertson, man. Big fan. I got her on Instagram. I'm always checking for her pictures, bro. I love Jillian Robertson, and I think it's so crazy. Lee, I think Lee knows Jillian Robertson one of my favorites, man. I think y'all sleep on her, man. You sleep on her too much, bro. Lee sleeps on her too, man. You don't have to admit it. It's all good. What I'm saying is that the stats-wise for this fight, it's actually kind of mind-blowing because I thought this was interesting. They pretty much have the same – well, they have the same exact significant strikes landed percentage. They both have a 51% for significant strikes landed, which is really strange because I never see that. And then submissions, they have a really close situation too. It looks like they both do a ton of work on the mat. Robertson edges her just barely with 67% to Miranda Maverick 60%. So, I mean, in this fight though, I'm gonna go with Jillian Robertson probably. I'll say third round. Second round. We'll go second round. Second round rear naked choke.
Oh man, this fight is actually the odds for the Karma Worthy Jerry Mullarky fight is Karma is a -130 and Mullarky is a +110. And this fight, Maverick is a -165 and Robertson is a +140. So basically, these fights are actually pretty close if I'm looking at the odds correctly. I like Jillian Robertson. I think if she can take Maverick down and make Maverick fight off her back, she has a good chance of winning this fight. If she keeps the fight standing up, I'm going to go with Miranda Maverick. But for my prediction in this fight, I'm going to go with Miranda Maverick, man. I think she gets it done. I don't think she can knock Robertson out, man. Robertson is tough. I'm going to say Maverick wins by third round TKO. I got Maverick winning third round TKO over a very game Jillian Robertson. But if Keys is right, if this fight is on the mat, Robertson will win this fight easily.
All right. I'm going to go with
Did you make your pick?
Maverick. No, I didn't make
Did you make
pick.
Your pick?
No.
All right, make your pick, bro. We don't got that much time left.
My bad.
So we still got to talk about the title fight. And I got to talk about my boy T-Wood, so come on. We got the T-Wood
going
fan
Maverick,
club tonight. Come on now.
Going Maverick, I don't know. Don't care which way.
All right, man. We got three more fights, man.
All right. Next up, we got Sean O'Malley coming back against Thomas Almeida. Thomas is on three fight losing streak. Actually, maybe even four. Three.
Damn.
I'm gonna go with Sean O'Malley in hopes that he comes back and wins. But besides that, I couldn't really care less because I think it's a stupid fight. But, yeah.
Oh, man. Very quick. Thomas Almeida had so much. He came in, he looked very, very good. And then he started looking very, very bad. Sean O'Malley looked very, very bad in his last fight against Chito Vera. I think Sean O'Malley rebounds. He wins this fight. I'm going to say unanimous decision against a very game Thomas Almeida. Even though Almeida hasn't looked good in his last couple fights, he's actually lost four of his last five. Two of his losses have been by KO, two by unanimous decision. So, yeah, I'm going to take Sean O'Malley winning this fight by unanimous decision against a good game Thomas Almeida.
I'm going to go with... So I don't think Almeida's won since I saw him in Boston 3 years ago, because I know he lost when I watched him there. I forget who he fought, but O'Malley, I'm gonna go. I just can't see O'Malley. Like I watched his interview earlier, and I just can't see him making another. You know, he kind of lost the last fight because I just don't think if he had. I was suspect of him going in versus Chito, but I think if he didn't have that injury, I think he could have bounced back in the fight because I think he didn't look good. I think if he didn't have that injury, it was yet to be seen. I think he could have bounced back in the fight. But And then that's a whole nother topic, but for another time. But yeah, I think O'Malley is going to be, he's going to look good in this one. I think he's going to bounce back. And I think we'll see him win by a second round TKO.
All right.
Let's bring it to the co-main event.
I'm going to let Keys go first on this
one. Yeah, we got the return of Tyron Woodley taking on Vicente Luque. Did I ever think we would have seen this fight? Probably not. Here we are. This is a very interesting fight. It's a very big fight for Tyron Woodley coming off not only just three losses, but three dominating losses to where he did not show any offense. This is a pretty obvious, blatant make-or-break fight for Woodley, with him being 38 years old against a 29-year-old. So this is a big one. What do you guys think?
So he said to let me go first, so I'll go first. My thing on it is this. I mean, I watched Woodley at the press conference earlier, and I like the way his mindset is going into the fight. But and we have to keep in mind, you know, he lost 15 straight rounds, in my opinion. But at the same time, if you look at that, I mean, he fought the champion and two top five, well, arguably the number two and number three, or number one and number two and the champion. So overall, I mean, it's similar to what Lee said about Marion Reynaud earlier, if you look at who she fought with a four-fight skid. So I think you could say the same thing about Woodley with that three-fight skid. But at the same time, you know, if he can't let his hands go, like, he just looks like he has stage fright in there these last couple fights. Like, regardless of the opponent, I don't even see him throwing back. Like, I don't even – he looks like he's, like, I don't know what's going on in his head. I don't know what's going on in his head when he's in there these last three fights. So, while thinking of the opponents in mind, I definitely want to see him win, but I just can't. I can't pick him to win with the fact that he's not going to let his hands go, because I feel like he's just going to be stage fright again. And versus this guy, Luque throws a lot of volume. You know, Luque does a lot of boxing. So I think Luque will win by unanimous decision with my pick. But I really hope that Tyron Woodley looks good, and I'd love to see him win.
I'm going with Vicente Luque by decision also. I think Tyron Woodley has it in his head that when he throws a punch, he's going to get taken down. Ever since that Usman fight, where every time he would throw a punch, Usman would take him down, he just refuses to let his hands go. And all fights ain't the same. All fighters ain't the same. Although I know that we want to say he's lost to top five guys, this guy was a champion at one time. So what are we really saying? He's always going to fight top competition. So I don't think we can really lean on who he has for it, being that he is a former champion. I just think it's in his head that when he throws a punch, he's going to get taken down. And to me, that's kind of odd, being that he's such a good wrestler. But I think Vicente Luque wins this fight by unanimous decision. And I think Dana White smiles on his walk to Tyron Woodley's locker room after the fight and hands him his pink slip directly after the fight. This is one guy that Dana White never really liked. And that's why I think he'll take great enjoyment in giving Tyron Woodley his pink slip as wishing him well in his future endeavors.
Man, look at the hate on T Wood, bro. Look how he does T Wood. See that?
It's just sad
how he does it.
It's sad how far he's fallen though. It's like I don't even recognize this guy.
Man.
His career has been three careers, Keys.
But you hold him to a way higher standard, though. That's all I'm saying. You hold him to a way. So do I. What do you mean? I'm saying so do I. You hold him to a higher standard. which you, we should. He was the champion. But I'm saying that when I compared it to you saying that Reyno was on a four-fight skid, you said, but look who she fought. So basically, you hold Reyno to a much lower standard is what you're trying to say.
Exactly.
You don't expect
she's never been a champion.
From her is what you're trying to say.
I mean, yeah, she's never been a champion. I expect more from – but see, I think I'm going to put it like this.
It's all good, bro. I got you.
I mean, you got me. Yeah, you do got me. But all I'm saying is he is a former champion, so I am going to hold him in a higher regard than I do Marion Renau. Willie has had three stages in his career. He was a dominant guy fighting up to the belt. He got the belt. And he, to me, he became complacent when he had the belt. Now that he doesn't have the belt, I don't even recognize who this guy is no more. If he could somehow discover the guy that he was fighting for the belt, I'd be back on his bandwagon. But I just think those days are gone, man. And it's sad because he's such a talent.
Thank you. Thank you for admitting that. You never admitted that till today. That was the first time. You finally admitted that he is a talent.
Take it over, Evan.
Man, Lee has not said nothing good about my boy Willie for like 4 years, and we only been on the air for three. Because you got to add the extra year that he was hating on Willie before when we were on Twitter. Before we were on
okay. Time out to our listeners. I have always gave him props of the fighter he was fighting up to the belt. I kind of fell out of love with him once he got the belt because I didn't like his fighting style. So, all right, Keys, you got me on that. Damn.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it. Yeah, no, go ahead, Evan. Go ahead. We gotta do it another time. Evan, you got it. Evan, no, you're not.
All
Evan,
right.
Go ahead, take over. I don't wanna take up too much of time.
How we good? We got one more fight to go. Real quick. I'm gonna take Luque as well, my pick. I don't have faith in Woodley anymore, as we were just crapping on Woodley. Moving on, we got Stipe versus Francis Ngannou, the rematch, finally. I don't know how long it's been since they fought before, but both have made, both have been through it since, after Stipe beat Francis, Francis went on to fight Derek Lewis and lost that fight, then went on to defeat Curtis Blaydes and so on and so forth in incredible knockout fashion. Stipe, on the other hand, took out Francis, lost to DC, beat DC again. Here we are, back at the rematch, back at heavyweight. The stakes are high. The winner of this fight is getting John Jones, heavyweight John Jones. Who is winning this fight? Gentlemen,
I'll let Keys go on this one because he was live in the building for the first fight between these two. So go ahead, Keys.
That's a fact. Thank you for running that back because every chance I get, I have to tell the story about watching this fight live. I have to tell the story. I'm not going to tell it this time, but I have told it every time, and I'll be telling it on Saturday night and probably on Friday night too, and maybe even tomorrow night. So I'll be telling it on the timeline. But, so I saw them two fight. I mean, one of my good friends kept saying to me, in the past couple of weeks, we're talking about this fight, and, I just kept telling him. I was like, bro, like, the thing is this. I was like, Stipe Miocic is the underdog for this fight once again. He's an underdog like every single fight, like pretty much. He is always the underdog. And my friend kept saying, I was like, he's always the underdog. But the thing is this, overall, he's a much better fighter than Ngannou, though. He's a much better fighter. Leagues and leagues better. Like, if we're really being objective with it and you look at everything, he is leagues and leagues better than Ngannou. You know what I'm saying? So, that's just true. And what I'm trying to say is, you know, my friend told me, he was like, yeah, but don't you think Ngannou's gotten so much better than that? Like, don't you think he's grown since that time? And
no.
I said, no. I was like, I don't. I was like, I feel bad saying it because I like Ngannou as a person. Like, I want to see him with the belt. And, like, and to an extent, it'll make me happy if he wins. You know, it would make me happy if he won just to see him with the belt because I like, you know, I respect, you know, his upbringing, and I'd like to see a guy like that, you know, make it to the top of the division. You know what I mean? But I just don't think I don't think he has the tools to beat a guy like Stipe. I really don't. I mean, he really has a puncher's chance in this fight. This is just really what that is. It's a puncher's chance. And I talked about this a couple months ago with Evan. I said, we're really at a point where all the contenders for the belt just have a puncher's chance. I was like, we're not getting title fights where it's the two guys are very versatile. You're getting guys that are, you know, can do one really good thing versus guys who are extremely well-rounded. And if you look at the Usman versus Masvidal fight, you have the same concept. You have Masvidal who has a puncher's chance, and you have Usman who's extremely well-rounded. So that's – in most of these title fights, that's the theme nowadays. You don't have – well-rounded fighter versus well-rounded fighter. You have well-rounded versus a guy who or girl who does one really good thing. So and it's especially with the male division. But I just don't think Ngannou is good enough. I think Miocic's going to win again. And you know, Ngannou's only way to win is by a knockout. And he has to catch Stipe, I think, in the first round. I was like, it may be second round.
Nope.
But I think after the first two rounds, I don't think Ngannou's power is going to be the same. And if you even look back at the first fight, I was watching Ngannou's interview earlier, and Ngannou said that he didn't think he landed clean shots. He didn't think someone just got – I think Evan just got dropped out of the call. So he didn't think he landed clean shots. Hold on.
I'm here, Keith.
No, because it says host disconnected, so I'm not sure if we're – it
says
we're
not –
Yeah, I can hear you. I just don't know if we're live. Because Evan got this
connection.
Oh, we're live. Okay, cool. So, no, but I just don't know if Ngannou, if he can't knock him out, I just don't see how else he can win. Like, and he has to do it early because Ngannou is going to be tired. Stipe is going to look to take him down. And Stipe actually took some of Ngannou's really big shots in the first fight. You know, I saw it live. And Ngannou said on the interview that he didn't think he landed, like, his shots landed clean on Stipe, and I would dispute that. I think that is not true because I saw the shots. I was watching the fight on the Jumbotron. I saw a good handful of big shots from Ngannou land on Stipe. Stipe might have even been rocked a couple times in the fight. He looked like he was visibly – Stipe looked like he was possibly visibly rocked in a couple moments in the first fight with Ngannou from taking his big shots. But Stipe weathered the storm, and he actually was landing punches back in the moment. Stipe looked like he was rocked, and he was still landing back on Ngannou. He was boxing with Ngannou in the first and second round. So that's the thing that is not true. People make it seem like Stipe just took him down and wrestled the whole fight. The first two rounds, there was plenty of boxing. Stipe gave him all the chance in the world to knock him out. But Stipe's boxing is also so much better than Ngannou's. Ngannou doesn't have a great boxing technique, but since he gets big knockouts, we like to think he does. So he swings wildly and recklessly. That's what happened. That's how he beat Rozenstruik. He swung wildly and recklessly. He basically just blitzed them. But there was really no boxing technique to it. Now, the last time I saw him, like, use some great, like, movement, footwork, and boxing technique was when he beat Overeem, when he had that uppercut. Like, his footwork in that fight, the way he was so light on his feet and he landed that uppercut, I feel like that was perfect. Like, he was so scary, but even at that time, that he fought Stipe the next fight, and it wasn't enough. So I think Stipe wins this one again. And, you know, I might even say Stipe wins by TKO, honestly. I think Stipe, you know, Ngannou is going to be tired, and I think Stipe late rounds gets a TKO. I would say probably fourth round. Stipe, fourth round TKO. He's going to have taken Ngannou down, and he's just going to maul him. I think that's what's going to happen. The rest of the
All right, Evan, go ahead. I'll go last.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.